participant has set the caption language to English. Did you have it in a different language before, Sumit? I'm assuming
I did. It wasn't working.
There's my racism coming out. I assume
it
was the brown guy.
I was like, okay, so that was your first option that I did it?
that is kind of fucked up.
We're here to finish Sumit's mystery. Sumit asked us last week if King Arthur was a real guy. Now, do you guys remember the story at all?
Yeah, I think we landed on he was a real guy.
Yeah, it was something about him broing out as a rape baby with another rape baby. And
oh, fuck. Yeah. I used to actually do this in high school. I just realized we had homework and I didn't do it.
Yeah, we all didn't do it because I just remembered too, yesterday.
I always remember like in the moment.
Yeah, it's okay. Damn. Our homework was stupid anyway.
What was our homework?
It was like bringing one rule to the table, I think.
If you were going to be a knight of the dick table, dick shaped table or whatever it was.
Okay.
Oh, I had to bring a rule. Shit.
Yeah.
That's okay. In typical fashion, RJ remembers the rape babies.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Do you remember anything there? Sumit, I just want to see what you remember.
Like he took a lot of things. He would fight with people. He became a little bit of power hungry. Then he had a wife. Then he wanted another one. And then they had this whole table of people that could hang out together and things like that. So, yeah.
That is a pretty terrible summary, but I liked it.
Yeah.
Ricky, what do you remember? Anything good?
I just remembered that I didn't do the homework.
That's perfect. That's why not?
Like PTSD there or something. I don't know.
As we go, I'll remind you of parts from last time. So, Shuma wants to know if this is a real guy, though. Let's just say in three words, I think so. What are you laughing at?
Because you said the answer is in three words that I was thinking. Maybe he's going to say yes, no, and maybe.
I should have said it like that. We'll say it in three words. Yes, no, maybe?
An elite team of private detectives.
What if balloons are aliens? Maybe that's the key component we're missing.
Cover-ups.
John's guilty.
Mysteries that need to be solved.
Maybe Mormons need mountains.
Richard, shut up.
Dark Ages just happens after the fall of Rome in 410, and it goes from basically to the 10th century. So it's a good like 600 years of marked decline in all things economic, intellectual, cultural. A lot of things weren't written down anymore. It went back to like oral storytelling traditions. Not a lot was written down. To kind of give you a full example of whether or not Arthur's real, it's kind of hard because, like I said, it was mostly oral tradition. But there is some stuff that's written from back then, and there are some writings of Arthur a couple hundred years later. So
I have a question.
Yeah.
If everything was so focused on oral tradition, how were there so many unwanted pregnancies?
Ayo! Blowjobs.
I thought it was a valid question, and you made a joke out of it. But
an oral tradition, you said it's a valid, like you want me to actually explain what I mean by oral tradition?
I didn't ask you what it meant. I know what it meant.
I think you're mistaken what it meant.
I think you're mistaken.
Okay. Good question. How do you know they're unwanted pregnancies? I'll throw it back to you.
Well, because the rape babies.
If
they have an oral tradition, then they're more than likely mouth raping. You can't get pregnant in your mouth.
That's true. You are.
Unless you could back then. Is that why they called it the Dark Ages? It's just weird.
It's just you get pregnant with anything. It's like, God damn it, this is dark. I wish we only had one hole. All the holes make it. God. This shit is dark. I fucked a tree stump. My wife's pregnant. God damn it, I hate this.
I thought about a banana and she's pregnant.
There's a bit of historical precedence for Arthur. Like what I said, Rome cuts off England from like help after the fall of Rome. That shit actually happens. There's historical proof to it. But like a lot of what, like Arthur's name isn't even spoken for another couple hundred years in some sort of writings, right? Like, the thing I told you last episode was literally my version of the Arthur story. There's like 100 different versions at this point, if not more, of exactly how it went.
Why did you deprive us of 99 of them?
Because they're all the same, just slight variations. It's like, we could. We want to do, we'll do 99 full episodes on King Arthur.
Yeah, this has just become the King Arthur podcast, Private Dicks, except it's not what you think in doing different mysteries. It's only about King Arthur.
The same mystery.
The show.
Over and over.
And then we can open it like, hello guys, episode number 672. In this version, Arthur is also a rape baby, but he's also a transformer.
Yeah.
Oh shit, that would be cool.
See, now you're making me want to revise that again and say it again. Transformer, yeah, Arthur.
I'm really into the King Arthur multiverse theory now. That's...
Okay, that's a good theory for off the top.
Yeah.
So yeah, maybe all the different maybe the story I did tell just happened in a different universe or this universe. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's great.
Mm.
So if Arthur did exist, those stories of him have been elaborated over centuries of the Arthur legend existing. So let's just, before I get started, and please feel free to ask a lot of questions in this because I know way too much and there's too much for me to write everything down. So if you're curious about like a certain aspect of this, I could answer it probably if I don't get to it in the episode because there's a lot. Yeah, so here's some obvious things that aren't true. We can get out of the way. Giants, dragons, dwarves, fucking unicorns, all that shit that ends up in all the Arthurian legend stuff. Pure fantasy. Never has there been any evidence to the contrary. Despite what people want you to believe. And I'm talking about you, Cardiff Giant. We already fucking talked about you, you line sack of giant. You weren't real. And I guess dwarves are technically real. Like, I don't know if that's what they meant, what we consider dwarves now, what they meant in the Arthurian legend.
Well, it's kind of like Rick and birds, you know, like you can see them and hear them, but like, you don't know that they're like, there's actually something going on in there. It might be like a little spy bot or something, right?
Could be.
I agree.
It's one of those like dog robots just taught.
Well, no, it's just like it's like hashtag birds not real. Hashtag dwarves aren't people. I think we can get people on board with that.
Oh my god! All right, we're doing it. Hashtag cancel us now.
No, it's just because they're little spy robots.
If somebody could prove us wrong, like if you rip some flesh off of a dwarf and show me that they were real in the inside, I'll believe it.
Yeah, Private Dick's official stance. Dwarves aren't people unless you can prove it.
Unless you can prove they're not robots. Okay. We're making that an official stance. Why not? So there's some other non-obvious ways that the Arthur story isn't like is fiction mostly. So Arthur's supposed to exist in the 5th or 6th century. I think I touched on this with you guys before, like castles and plate armor wouldn't have been a thing in the 500s or 600s. Like the age of the castle in Europe only started around the year 1100. And it wouldn't have been for another like 100 years after that stone forts and keeps would have started popping up all around Europe.
What'd they live in before that?
It wasn't castles and shit. It was like wooden forts. And like stones, yes, stonework like for bases and stuff like that, but not like bricks, like cut out precise shit.
I'm sorry, but what fucking technology became available that made that all of a sudden feasible when it wasn't before somehow?
Just stoneworking got better, that's all. People know how to quarry stuff better, slab it out better.
Hmm.
Better craftsmen, better, like 600 years of like craftsmanship goes a long way. Like we've only been 150 with cars, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, fair enough.
Yeah,
plate armor didn't start popping up really like 11th century kind of, but it wasn't like every knight was wearing it until like the 13th century, late 12th century, early 13th century. So yeah, that stuff's just changed after the story got changed a bunch to make Arthur more relatable to its at the time audience. Like their audience in the 1200s when this was rewritten would have been looking at knights with big plate armor. So to be more relatable, the authors started talking about, we'll talk about a little bit more about that in a bit.
Where do we land on plate armor? Are we in favor of or against?
In what regard? Like nowadays?
I don't know.
War,
just as a concept. Like, well,
then it would have been awesome for sure.
I mean, does it look cool?
That's a different question. Okay. I've seen some that look pretty badass, but some of it looks kind of wanker. Like it looks like it's shitty to walk around with and sweaty in it. You'd smell. Everyone who had that on stank, but some of it looks imposing.
Yeah. I think it would look cool if you can't see their face, but it's like an open helmet still. You know what I mean? Like the Witch King or some shit.
Okay.
Yep. What really do you think? Dirty and dingy. I think if it's all clean, You're a pussy.
Yeah, you need it to be dented up and like bloodied a bit. Yeah, I'm cool with that too. I always found like the black armor, I don't know why, it just makes you feel like it's fucking way more badass. It's the same shit, just black.
Yeah. Yeah, I went ebony armor in Skyrim.
Yeah, it's just more badass.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you think, Rick? If you could get like a suit of plate armor and put beside your Yoda picture behind you, would you do it?
Oh, like for decoration? Fuck no.
No, would you wear it? That's what we're talking about, Richard.
Yeah. Yeah, but he didn't ask me if
I know he asked the wrong question.
I asked the wrong question. You're right.
Yeah.
I would wear it from time to time, but I would always be doing something stupid when I'm wearing it.
Well, like here's the thing. Like the bombs fall, and you're lording over your little fiefdom that you've acquired in the post-apocalypse. Are you wearing the armor?
Yes, but also, what are those things called? Roman candles that like they launch, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would, if I had an arm, whatever armor, if I just got it today, I'd be outside right now having like a fight to the death. But hopefully neither of us would die. It depends though. Do we have one thing of armor or two?
Well, you get to choose. This is all hypothetical. So you
I mean, it's just if you get the armor, if you want it, if you want to get more and fight somebody in it.
It would probably be just me. They wouldn't have any.
Yeah, that would be cool. You're just going around assaulting people while in plate armor. Assaulting them with fireworks.
That has to have happened in some city somewhere already.
Guaranteed.
Maybe, yeah.
I do enjoy how when RJ posed you that question about like your fiefdom and everything, you like sat there and thought about having a fiefdom and made a really informed answer. Like you fiefdom? Thought about like, because you knew you were going to have a
fiefdom. What's a fiefdom?
Like a kingdom of your own, little mini kingdom of your own. After the bombs fall and you're going to start taking over the neighborhood and stuff, you know you're going to do it. That's the best part. You're an evil fucking, you're like a super villain.
Is that what I agreed to? Taking over? I swear to God, you're just changing the question as I'm saying it. I did
say like, all right, like picture like, you know, like the bombs come and you're like lording over like your own little fiefdom. Are you wearing the armor?
Your fiefdom, now maybe you're referring to a game or a movie. I don't know any of these references, but when you're talking about your fiefdom, or this is just a word of vocabulary I've never heard.
It's a real word that exists. Yeah.
But anyway, when you're talking about fiefdom, my mind immediately went to like Rick Grimes from The Walking Dead. So less about like, I want to control you people and more about just like, I have to control you because you people keep getting killed by these zombies.
Okay, and that's fine. That's good. That could, you can be like a benevolent leader.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm not Neo.
Are you wearing
right?
the armor?
Neem, whatever the fucking name.
Negan.
No,
Negan. I got
Neiman. Nurgle.
I'm not like strapping up barbed wire to a bat.
Okay, but if you even if you
But were. I would strap up barbed wire to a bat in an apocalypse before I got this armor and just fucking put it here for decoration.
So good guy, bad guy, either you run the prison, maybe you're saving people from it, whatever the case is.
Right.
Are you wearing the armor when it happens?
It depends. If it's Walking Dead, it depends. If it's in the Walking Dead, am I the only one with armor on? Because then I become that guy who gets labeled like the knight and everyone's just like, oh yeah, you know, the knight. Yeah, you know, that. I don't want a nickname in the apocalypse.
The world has ended and he's worried about name tags.
I don't want to be the guy sitting next to a lion, you know?
So
I don't
like,
want to be that guy.
All right, but like I understand you don't want to be like a mini boss, but
like
you know
Rick
saying,
Rick,
like,
Rick Grimes was just a guy. They called him Rick. They weren't just that's the fucking king.
But that was like his thing. He was like an everyman. If you wear the fucking armor.
I'm just saying, when it comes to like fiefdom level.
I get it, but like you can't
he
be.
He likes it, but not too much attention.
I want to be a little bit lower on the fiefdom level. I want to be the guy running the missions, not the guy that you're fighting.
Okay, but and that's fine. But if you wear the armor, you're going to be that guy. Like there's no way you can't wear the armor and just be like, whoa, who's that? That's Rick. he wears armor. That's his thing. But he's only Rick. Yeah,
and I'm just walking through a Walmart shopping.
Remember in Rodney Martin episode where we clearly established that it was the thing and Rick kind of said that he will fight lots of penguins. Remember?
No, that was with RJ.
Something?
Yeah, RJ said
RJ swore that he could beat the shit out of all these penguins.
Oh, 1,000.
Yeah, but
so imagine if you are there, Rick. Would you wear that?
I would still lose to the penguins. If that's what I'm up against, is penguins versus the armor is not going to save me. The armor is probably going to kill me. The weight of 1,000 penguins stepping on my head is not going to be stopped by armor. It's all going to just go flat.
What do you have to say about that, RJ?
Yeah, but it becomes a lot easier to sift through them after they've been run over with a combine.
Rick, you're going to be fucking the Iron Maiden or something. You're getting called something if you're wearing the armor. Sorry. So if you wear the armor, you're that guy. But I'm cool if you wear the armor. I hope you do. I wouldn't because I'm too fat and I'd die. I'd be like dying of sweat the whole time. I'd need to be able to run freely without
Yeah,
it.
I wouldn't wear it either. I'd be too embarrassed. It looks gay.
Okay. So
does it depend what color you get? Like, if you get to pick the color.
Why? Is there gay colors? Let's hear about that.
I don't know. I don't know. He threw out ebony black. And
I did. I did. Yeah, no. That was wrong and very 90s baby of me, so I'll apologize and we can move on.
I do like how we have that in our pocket now. It's just say, oh, I'm from the 90s, so I can say retard. Let's move on. All right, so there is other historical evidence that Arthur or an Arthur type figure had at least been talked about. So in the there's a poem from the 7th, and I've also seen the 11th century, but I think it's 7th century, called, and you guys are going to laugh at me a lot in this episode because there's a lot of like Celtic words that I'm going to have a hard time saying. There's a poem from the 7th century called Ygadodon. All right.
Instagram.
Yeah,
okay. That's how it's pronounced.
The poem's just about a bunch of warriors and they fight in a bunch of battles and almost all of them end up dying while fighting in some sort of Saxon war. It's not really specific who they're fighting, which Saxons
what were they
specifically.
Wearing?
No plate armor because it's from the 7th century. Just probably leathers.
Losers.
And fucking axes, some swords. Spears for sure.
Somebody wishes they were gay.
Leathers, spears, axes. Yeah, that's pretty gay.
Nah, it's too straight. It's too straight.
Maybe. Yeah, they act leather, whips, and neck collars. The getting gay.
Yeah, no, but no. The plate is what's gay, pal.
Oh, okay, I gotcha.
Yeah, because it's only the confidence of a strong. A gay man who could pull off plate armor.
Hey, okay.
I'm trying to spin it.
I got you. You're trying to move it to, you said something progressive. I got you.
Yeah.
I got you. You didn't, but maybe we can get there. So yeah, the only reason I'm bringing up this poem is that Arthur's not even, he's not one of the warriors or anything. He's just like mentioned in passing. They're talking about this great warrior named, and I'm going to spell it first, and then I'm going to try and say it so you can understand. It's G-W-A-W-R-D-D-U-R. Gwawarder.
Gugudada.
Gugudolls. Okay. Here's the quote from the poem. It says, he fed black ravens on the rampart of the fortress, though he was no Arthur. So they're like saying he was a good warrior, and he's like freaky, scaring people with his fucking ravens, but he's not Arthur level. And that's literally the only thing in that entire poem from the 7th century. So people like to assume that Arthur was in the oral tradition because of that, because if they're just mentioning it in passing like that, he must have been like just known, like a household kind of name for people to understand that poem. That lends that he might have existed. There's an even older text that doesn't mention Arthur specifically, but it does mention a great battle Arthur was said to have been in. The big battle from the story that Arthur defeated the Saxons, the Battle of Badon Hill, is mentioned in a text by 6th century British monk named Gildas. Gildas would have been alive when the Battle of Badon Hill would have happened. So that means at least if he's writing about it, it would have been like fresh in his memory. But sometimes monks and people of the clergy aren't the best historians, especially back then. Because, like, usually their text is very God-based, and what they write can be scrutinized because it usually ends with some sort of religious message. It's not usually 100% accurate because they're trying to get their own point across. I don't know. If that battle's mentioned the play around the same time, it kind of seems like, okay, so the battle happened that they talked about, plus the guys mentioned a couple hundred years later in passing. So it kind of gives you an idea that Arthur could have been around from that time. Gildas does mention someone else, though. He writes that the leader of the army that defeated the Saxons was a guy named Ambrosius Aurelius. Now, I don't know if you guys remember from last episode, but Aurelius was Uther Pendragon's, like, brother, Arthur's uncle. Aurelius ends up kind of being thrown into this whole mix. A lot of people think that Arthur could have just been Aurelius later on and just got changed to Arthur because they're kind of close. So Aurelius might not have even existed, like his uncle, like that. Yeah. So the first time Arthur is mentioned in any type of literature is in the 9th century in a book named Historia Britonum, written by a guy named Ninius. Ninius was also a monk, but he was from the 9th century, and he lived in rural Britain at the time, away from what civilization would have been. Like, whatever civilization would have been there?
I'm sorry. In the year 900, was not everything rural?
No, they had cities, for sure. Nothing like, not no mega cities like we have now, but they had 10,000, 20,000 people cities, for sure.
No. No
way. Okay, we can look it up if you want.
The no has it. The no wins.
No wins. Okay, sure. Everywhere's rural. No civilization exists.
Well, not anymore. Not anymore.
Well, that's what I mean, though. Like, by, like, even by, like, the standards of, like, 200 years ago, like, everywhere that would be, like, a bustling city would be, like, where you live.
No, that's not true at all.
That's how it would look.
That's not true
like,
at
this
all.
Is the center of industry.
Not even close. In the 1824...
One horse goes by every day and a half.
Like, population of fucking London, England.
Nah, dude, I played Assassin's Creed Valhalla. There wasn't that many people in it.
True, that's true. There
1821 had 1.5 million people.
Whoa.
1821.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm talking about half as many years.
In the year 60, it says there's 30,000 people in London. The year 245 I'm telling you, I'm looking it up right now.
They couldn't fucking count back then.
Yeah, but if all of them were going to know me as the guy in armor, how many could there really be?
1,100 down to 1,400 because Black Plague probably killed everyone off. But I'm telling you, they had cities. They didn't have mega cities that we have now, but people gathered in groups for sure.
Yeah, what kind of population density are we talking about here?
What does that have to do with them living rural or in a city?
Because that makes a huge difference. Because like it's like how like Jacksonville, Florida has like 800,000 people. But it's like 30 miles in diameter. So it doesn't feel like a big city.
For sure. But what I'm saying is there was guards posted around cities and living in the bush. Like there's two different things. Like, especially back then, you wouldn't have, anyways, it would be a lot different to live outside of a city walls than it would be to live inside of city walls. Just guaranteed.
All right. Well, I didn't really like Assassin's Creed Valhalla. So if you're going to make me go back and play it. Just to verify this, I'm going to go and I'm going to count.
You should. Please do.
Yep.
Ninius is also a monk, lived in rural Britain at the time, away from what civilization was. This historic Britonum says that Arthur fought with the kings of Britain to defeat the Saxons. He doesn't call him a king. He says that he was Dux Belorum, which is translated to the commander of battles. It's not the same as a king, but like, back then, the way I kind of like was reading this, if you were a king, you basically were just in charge of a bunch of armies. You didn't really sit down in a throne back then. You just kept conquering.
They didn't fight.
That's all they did was fight. They didn't stop.
So like, was the king there fighting? Like,
oh yeah, the kings would be front lines going like.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love that. That's how it should be now with presidents.
For sure. You want to go to war? You're the first person off the helicopter, pal.
Joe Biden should have to fly the F-22s over Russia when we go at him. the fucking G-force from taking off would melt him.
Yeah. What are we doing here?
with the fact that they didn't call him a king doesn't really change the fact that he might have been a king, because if you had a big army like that, you're typically a king. And then in the book, there's 12 battles listed that were fought by Arthur. One of them is the Battle of Mount Badon, mentioned again. And this ends up being Arthur's final battle, the battle where Arthur kills 960 men by himself. It says, in a single charge, which I thought was fun. And I was like, wait, that could just be Arthur's army going through in a single charge. But no, it specifically says, no one struck them down except Arthur himself. So it's like, literally, he killed, they say he killed 960 people. So, probably in their sleep.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. He liked that. He was the mercy.
Yeah, mercy. Yeah. Mercy killer.
People rule number 63.
Yeah. Oh, man. So, all right. So here's what I'm thinking. Okay. Like, let's say we join the war in Ukraine. All right. Joe Biden on the front lines, huge, just plate armor. And he goes into tents and he's just stabbing people in the neck
when they're sleeping.
Yeah. That's World War III.
I was supposed to get here earlier. Fuck. I forgot.
But he's got to wear the plate armor and sneak around in it.
Clink, clink, clink. And you probably have like two fucking Secret Service guys, like, with like hooks and sticks attached to the feet to like pick him up for him as he walked, because fuck, he would be able
Yo,
to
move on. Oh my God. Maybe that's how we can get rid of Trump.
Just hooks and sticks.
Well, yeah. Like, well, no. But like, we make it so that he has to fight on the front lines and like, we vote for him.
Well, not even that. So we got to tell him, we got to get some really conservative people to like say, hey, to ensure our victory, we need to get like our man at the front lines. That's what a real man would have done. Yeah. That's what a real man would do.
And then he'll win in a landslide and be like, actually, it was rigged. The election was rigged.
I rigged it myself. I rigged it myself. Yeah, so keep all this stuff with the historical Britannum, though. It's written over 300 years after when Arthur would have been alive, like in 830. Any of these 12 battles marked to Arthur's name is just like, maybe the Battle of Badon Hill, since that's there, though, and it's been mentioned before, even in history, it's starting to look a lot more like that battle at least happened. Arthur's starting to mention him, get his name. He might have existed. So, yeah, the next text that mentions Arthur from around the same time, it's from the late 10th century, it mentions Arthur, Mordred, and even Merlin. The new book's called The Annales Canembrae, or The Annals of Wales. And recorded events from Ireland, Cornwall, England, Scotland, and Wales from the years 445 to 977. Arthur's mentioned two times in that entire book with dates associated. So it's not just like random times. He's mentioned with regard to the Battle of Badon again. And they date this at 516, which lines up with the Arthur legend. And this battle is mentioned, the story where that's the one where he finishes off the Saxons, like I said. Arthur's mentioned a second time with Mordred, and how they died at the Battle of Camlann fighting each other, which happens in the year 537, which also follows the Arthur legend. So now you can see how it's starting to kind of like build itself out from a base of like a guy who is a warrior to now like you're starting to see historical texts come out with his name in it. Like I said, Merlin's mentioned, but no significant way proving he existed. It says it's from the year 573. And it's an entry that mentions Merlin went mad after the Battle of Armturid, which has nothing to do with Arthur at all. It's just, that's all they say. Merlin died in a battle. But he's there. Merlin's name starts popping up too. The next time Arthur's mentioned in a text is in the 13th century by a Catholic cleric named Geoffrey of Monmouth. He writes a book called Historia Regum Britanniae, or The History of Kings of Britain. Now, Geoffrey of Monmouth claims that this is a historical text, what he's writing, that he translated from a, quote, very ancient book in the British tongue into Latin. Even though he could never show anyone the original book or even tell anybody the book's name, he said he got it from the Archdeacon of Oxford, but like, it's an ancient book, guys. Just believe me. I don't know what it's called. Just an ancient book, I promise. And I love this one, because this was like considered history, like historically accurate until like the 16th century. So it went on for like 400 years where everyone's like, yeah, this is real. That guy had a book for sure. Nowadays, it's considered mostly fiction or like pseudo reality. Like, it's some of it's real in it, but like a lot of it's just fucking made up.
How do they know either way?
There's other historical evidence from the 1300s that prove against it. This guy said, I got this from an ancient text. Everybody else is like citing their work. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but who's to decide what the real historical factual evidence is?
Sure.
Why'd they pick one and not the other?
Jeffrey Monmouth just mentions dragons and shit. You know what I mean? Like, it starts getting wonky. Like, stuff inside of that's like...
Well, that fucking sucks, dude. If we just believed in that, we could have lived in a world with dragons.
We just have to manifest it by believing it? Yeah, that'll...
Yeah, like, that. What would you rather? Dragons or, like, the plague and shit?
Why does one have to only exist without the other?
I don't know. I don't know when those things happen. I thought maybe one was at the same time as the other.
That's fair. Yeah, I know.
Whatever real thing that... was not the dragons.
Maybe it was dragons. Maybe it's just a big lizard. The fucking Historia Regum Britanniae, or the history of the kings of Wales, considered mostly fiction now. They're just fleshed out stories from the previous guys, like from Gildas, Historia Britonum, Ninius, and the Annals or whatever, and a few other well-known sources. Like, after people have studied this, they just look like the only ancient text here is maybe Gildas. But, like, that's not really a hidden tech. You could have just told everyone. Everyone knew about Gildas. It wasn't, like, this big secret.
Why do you think they made shit up like that? Do you think they were... Because they knew it was fake, but, like, were they trying to, like, pass it off as real? Or were they just being, like, entertainers? And then people just took it too seriously.
I think it's more of, like, confabulation. More like, you think what you're saying is true because you've heard it 100 times from, like, people telling stories. Whether it's, and you're just too stupid to understand that people are going to figure out that it's not real. Like, you didn't do enough research and you're just filled in gaps. You know what I mean? Like, you just went, oh, well, yeah, this happened, that happened. And then, like, in between, it had to have happened like this for it to get to that point. And it's like, well, wait, there could be a million different iterations of the things in between, man.
Yeah. I'm just trying to understand the incentive. Cause, like, it's the same thing with the Bible, too. You know what I mean? Like, it's just a bunch of people who are like, yeah, and then this happened. And it's like, you know goddamn well that didn't fucking happen. Like,
I think the Bible, and this, to a point, too, probably has the same effect. Like, there's a goal in trying to control and trying to make people understand history the way you want them to understand it, so you can control the way they, like, the move forward.
Yes, if you interpret it as, like I, and I do believe that is the notion as well, but, like, pretend, like, it, the text is now exactly as it was written. You know what I mean? Like, what was the angle then? You know, like, when Luke was, like, writing his shit, whatever the fuck, he's just like, hey, check this out. Like,
no, it's because it's literally because they had a problem they needed to fix, in my opinion. Like, you had some sort of lesson that you needed to teach the fucking idiots, and to make the idiots listen to you, you had to, like, God wrote it down. So, like, oh, look, I found this extra book of Luke. Now he's telling you you're not allowed raping. You know what I mean? Like, oh, okay, fine. Luke said it. Luke, like, God told Luke that we shouldn't rape. I was just going to rape because I don't fucking listen to Luke. But since God told him, you know what I mean? Like, it's just a lesson or something.
What Luke is Luke the book of rape?
Luke's the rapist in the Bible. I don't know. I'm just saying, I don't know what the Bible books are. I don't fucking really pay attention. I know Revelations because I find it fucking metal as shit. But other than that, I haven't really read too much of, like, I read the Bible a long time ago, but, like, it's fucking all, like, I can't remember.
On purpose?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Willingly?
Semi. Not because for religious, it was more like, what can I find in this thing that, why is this thing so fucking the thing, you know? I don't understand it. My parents love it. My parents are super religious people. I went to church, so I got a lot of the taste of it. But one day when I was in my early 20s, just starting stand-up, I was like, I'm going to read this whole fucking thing and see what's in it. And I don't know, man. It's just long and stupid and hard to understand.
Yeah, that's how I imagined it.
Yeah. Yeah, so that Jeffrey Monmouth thing kind of, like, sets up the whole story the way it is today. And it was super popular in its time. The what do we call it? The History of Kings of Britain. It was very popular at the time. It's super well known. I forget there's about 180 copies left of it, which is, like, more than most pieces of literature from that time So like it must have been widespread all over the place for it to have that many copies still left. The book's divided into 12 books, and each book is a different moment in history for the kings of Britain. So the books chronicle the lives of a bunch of different kings over 2,000 years, beginning with the founding of Britain by the Trojans and ending with the death of King Arthur at the Battle of Camlann. It's like the, like I said, the first time the story is really fleshed out. This first time you hear about Uther Pendragon, you hear about his lineage. You meet a couple knights, not all of them. You get to meet Kay, Bedivere, Gawain. There's a whole book in the 12 that are dedicated to like Merlin prophecies, which I find like hilarious. Like they spent a 12th of the book on like guessing what's going to happen. Merlin guessing what would have happened 300. You know what I mean? That guy just wrote down what happened to other things and said Merlin predicted them. I love it.
Do we have those guesses?
I could. I didn't put them all in. Just it's like a whole book worth. Yeah, you hear about Arthur becoming king and going off to fight the Romans after they ask for tribute. When he fights the Romans, he rides in a battle with a giant shield that had the Virgin Mary on it. So the Christians are starting to like influence the story now. They're starting to be like, he was a big Christian.
That's rude. Like, if your shield, isn't that kind of technically like you hate her then? Because like you're literally using her as a shield.
She's the great protector. She's a mother.
But like arrows come raining down, and you're just like put her face in front of it.
I think they thought of it differently. They thought like if I have her, she'll be like a blanket of security to block.
If I put her on here, she'll become defaced, just like I would cut someone's head off for doing if they did it in front of me.
I can't imagine what people 500 or if from the 500s or 800s or 1,000 thought.
Probably not much, because like they were what, like 4'7" back then or some shit. So like, based on what we've been figuring out, they're just like little robots spying for the government. So they weren't thinking; they were being controlled.
And due to all these compelling stories coming up, and you guys are discussing, I'm trying to like. I'm going towards the notion that he is real, because this all makes sense completely to me. You know what I mean? This is amazing. He might be real and he's still alive, you know?
100% real.
I don't know what you mean.
Because it's so stupid. I'm thinking, yeah, like, I don't know.
There wasn't lots of people. That's the thing. There were so many gatekeepers for information back then, right? Because only so many people could read. And especially even if you could read or speak, like you couldn't understand Latin, which most shit was written in. I don't know if you trusted your fucking priest, and your priest not necessarily doing anything bad by teaching you this because they think it's true because they're getting taught by their fucking pope or whatever. So like there, it's just so much information just like to control people. And I think this gets into that a bit. I think Arthur might've, we'll talk about it after. I think he might've existed, but not in the way, obviously not in the way. I'm already showing you how it evolved from a guy who just like fought a bunch of battles to like, like now he's fucking got a whole history. He's a king of Britain. Like,
he's like Jesus and dwarves, fake.
It's pretty much. We'll talk about it. So yeah, the book also shows him fighting Mordred to the death and being sent to Avalon when he was almost dead to be brought back again, mortally wounded. You remember that? The mythical land of Avalon. I forgot to mention this last episode, but Avalon just means like island of apples or whatever. I just don't know. Or land of apples. I don't know why the fucking apples became heaven.
I only know it as a model of Toyota.
Me too. I was just about to say XLE, XSE. Oh. What are you thinking?
Not on this income, pal.
Tercel on this income. Yeah, in Monmouth's Historia Regum Britannicae, there's nothing about any round table. There's no like questing for fucking women. There's no girls at all. It's just men fighting. All that shit comes later. So like I said, the Historia was super popular and soon spread all over Europe. It was really popular in France, especially in the 12th and 13th centuries. Poets like Marie de France were writing about Arthur and his court. And I love that's a person's name in history in France. It's Marie de France because they didn't really know much about her. But they knew she was from France, so her name's Marie de France. That's how she got the name Marie de France.
Nice.
Yeah, and she was just writing poems about Arthur.
Reminds me of my good friend, Dave American.
Yeah. Sumit Canadian.
Yeah. Bashir Pakistani.
They also knew that she must have been some sort of nobility because she knew how to read and write. Some people say that Marie de France was hired by the Queen of England at the time to write Arthur in some like romantic poems, like basically a smut novel for a queen. Like, make him sexy.
Say, you just pay her to write erotica for her?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. That's what
I was saying. The queen. Just demand someone get you laid.
I think, I guess. I'm just like, girls are different, right? They gotta like get right into it. So maybe she needed that to get in the mood.
I guess, but she's a fucking queen. She can create the mood. She can make a scenario up and make everybody act it out.
She wanted to be surprised.
She's sick of the one girl crying every time. Do I have to get laid out by fucking Prince Thomas again? Yes, you do. I need to get sexy over here. Fine, I'll use my imagination. Mary de France, write me a poem.
You can act in the play or you can be a part of the bloodbath. You choose.
I just like how, like, me, I'm thinking, like, what would be a sexy poem back then, right? It's like not 21st century sexy. It's more like, wow, Arthur didn't punch his wife in the face. That's sexy, kind of 13th century sexy.
Oh.
So yeah, Mary of France existed. She wrote a couple poems about Arthur. Nothing too phenomenal or out there that really changed the narrative too much, but there were stories. Were you going to say something?
No, I'm just pontificating.
I gotcha.
Yeah, I'm just wondering like what kind of like filthy sex people had back then, if at all.
I just don't want to imagine the smell.
Yeah, right? That's the thing. Like, I feel like if you lived back then, they weren't bothered by it, but...
Yeah, if we did the scenario from last episode where we just got dropped in that time, I wouldn't be trying to get laid.
Oh, yeah, no, we'd be puking.
Yeah, it'd be gross.
Yeah, you meant like people's like dental hygiene? Oh, my God.
Yeah. Oh, most people, like, would people still have teeth? Like, would lots of people have teeth at around our age?
I probably not. I mean, maybe like some people because they're just genetically lucky, but like, not me. I wouldn't.
They'd be gone. Only the teeth left that you'd only have are the ones that didn't, they stayed impacted into your face.
Exactly. Exactly. Oh my God. What the fuck would people, oh God. Yeah. Oh yeah, man. Fuck that. I can't imagine a worse fate than living back then.
Yeah, that's terrible.
That shit would suck. Cause like, at least like if you were like in America, you'd have, you know, Indian and Native American traditions and those people just seem very chill versus just walking around all these disgusting oily white people just just smelling like horse shit. Everything's like just sick and cloudy.
Yeah, it's disgusting. Ugh. And like just horse shit everywhere. And your job is either like shoveling that shit or like raising cattle for the king or something. You know what I mean? Like you're always under someone's thumb, always.
Yeah, no, I want like the quiet of the forest and like the bow and arrow and hunting elk and shit.
Yeah, but it would be different still because there'd be so many like wolves and other predators. Like we've killed off a lot of the crazy things.
I don't care. I would rather be killed by nature like that than by some guy who has like a fucking CTE because he works in the stable and just gets kicked in the fucking head by a horse all day because I spilled his drink at the tavern or something.
Yeah, that's true.
And he just stomps on my head until it's flat.
Yeah, no, I got to agree with you on that.
And then I never get to go home to my 3.5 foot tall wife who smells like she fucking like came from the bottom of the ocean.
That's not. Anyways, maybe that's why they needed the romance, the Mary de France's out there, because like just to distract from everything else, get in your mind a bit, you know?
Yeah, probably.
Another French guy that appeared around the same time writing about Arthur was a guy named Chrétien de Troyes from late 12th century. He wrote a couple, like he wrote the Knight of the Cart, like the Lancelot story I told you. He wrote the Guinevere being stolen by Meliant. Like, so he threw Lancelot into the fray, and guess what? Chrétien de Troyes is a French guy. Guess where Lancelot's from? Gaul, which is basically modern day France. And they made Lancelot like the best knight, better than the king. He steals the king's girl. Like the French guy's the best one. You know what I mean?
The gall of it.
God, that's, is that two puns this time? That's awesome.
It is.
Yeah. So the French, yeah, they added the chivalry part, the sexy boyfriends and the sexy girlfriends and how they're trying to fight for each other and like got to fight for the love of a woman. Chrétien de Troyes and Mary de France kind of like did that to it. Before this, Arthur was basically just like a warlord conquering land. You know what I mean? So
at least he did it mercifully.
Well, I was going to say, yeah. And back in those days, like in the 500s, 600s, to like the Dark Ages, like that, a guy who would fucking conquer land, make you feel protected, that guy would be like looked up to. But like by the time Chrétien de Troyes and Mary de France are writing stuff, it's more of like the medieval Renaissance ages than anything. They're more refined now. They need some like courtly activities here. We're not all savages like you were in the Dark Ages.
I don't think anybody that took over land back then would be looked up to, because you know goddamn well if they conquer anything, anyone who's living there is an automatic slave.
For sure. Unless you just bow, you fucking bend the knee as soon as they walk up.
Then they just don't have to beat you into it. Like, you're still going to be a fucking slave. Like,
yeah, I guess that's true. But like, I feel like that's just a way of life. There'd be just one different war. You'd just be a different slave to a different bunch of warlords. You just bend the knee all the time. You never would have had freedom. You would have never experienced it.
I mean, that's fine, I guess. But like, they're not, just because they're willingly doing it, they're like, oh no, we're equals, how dare you. So generous of you.
Yeah, anyway, I just, the French started to like be like, you know what, this, let's make a more refined character out of them. And I think that's hilarious that they made the one French knight. They just added him and made him better than every other one because they're French. So good. Yeah, he also adds the Holy Grail story, so they add a lot more like questing to this, like going to get crazy religious artifacts now. So like, religion's really getting attached to this. In fact, like, Arthur isn't even really the main focus of a lot of Chrétien de Troyes's work. It's like more of Lancelot and the other knights, stuff he could just make up willy-nilly. He doesn't have to like go by some old source material. He just goes like, yeah, he had some knights and a round table and shit like that. So Arthur's still around in the stories, don't get me wrong, but he's just not like the main focus. It's more the quests. Chrétien de Troyes is very popular. The Lancelot story is huge. And then another guy, his name is Sir Arthur Malory, and he writes Le Mort d'Arthur from the late 15th century. And he just basically says he takes all the different texts and retells the story with all the source material. So he compiles all the Arthurian history and put it all together. Sir Thomas Malory was actually, the reason he did this, I think he was just bored because he was in jail when this happened. I'm not really sure why he was in jail. There's a lot of different speculation why he was in jail. I heard that he was like a rapist. I heard that he was a burglar, or he was a violent criminal. But like, there was a big war going on in England at the time between like different people vying for the throne called the War of the Roses. And he used to flip-flop between which side. And I think when he finally got caught, it was just one of the kings being like, I don't like you, Sir fucking Malory. Go to jail because you keep flip-flopping. Like, I think he was just, that's why he was in jail. I don't know if he actually did the rape. You know what I mean? Like, who knows if he actually did any of that stuff. Yeah, so he compiled all that. He got all the info sent to him in jail, and he started writing about Arthur and his life. The Mort d'Arthur is pretty much what we see as a primary source for all the Arthur stories that we see today. Like, what I told you is pretty much how he gathered it all together. There's a little bit more modernization for what I was saying, but like, literally from the point when the barbarian sacked Rome all the way up to his death is basically what he puts into this book. This is where the plate armor comes into play.
I don't care. I've been thinking real hard about chainmail now for a little while.
I'm just saying, this is where he modernized the knights to make them more palatable to the lowly people. And this is where a lot of God gets mixed into the play. Like, God was already poking his head in there, but now they're all like doing everything's done for God. Yeah, and some of the churches in England still to this day have the story of King Arthur in their stained glass windows, would just be like Arthur getting born, blah, 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 so they could tell the story of Arthur.
Oh, I thought you meant they had windows in their plate armor made of glass.
That'd be terrible. Plate armor. Yeah, plate glass just armor.
Although, it would be very intimidating to see somebody in full plate armor and then just like a clear glass window over their dick and balls.
Just nude
yeah,
coming
just
at
just like,
you.
try it. I want you to see that this is the focal point. You could irreparably damage me, but I dare you.
Yeah, no, the church has just had stained glass windows with the whole Arthur story, so the priest could go with the people who didn't understand Latin and kind of get them to
I have a confession to make. I knew exactly what you meant.
Okay. Another guy that really loved King Arthur was Henry VIII. We're all well known of Henry VIII. So he had a bunch of wives and split off religion from Catholicism to Protestantism. But he loved him so much, he considered himself like the coming of the, like the rebirth of King Arthur. And he got himself a round table built, like Arthur's round table.
Did somebody rape his mom?
Good question. I'm going to go with likely. She was a woman in the 1500s. Likely.
Yeah. All right. Maybe then.
Likely. But that table still exists to this day. It's actually in Winchester Castle now. It's been hanging on a wall for a couple hundred years. it's been painted since, but like, yeah, no, Henry built that table just to be like, I'm King Arthur. I'm going to sit here. It's kind of cool. The table's nice. It has 24 spots. It puts everyone's name in front of where they're supposed to sit and different colors. It's pretty cool.
Kings were just children.
Oh, yeah. And yeah, just, well, it's like a trust fund kid. That's what kings were. Like, kids with just too much money and too much time, too much power.
I'm telling you, man, that's where we went wrong. We stopped making them fight.
Yeah, I agree with that completely. You want to send someone to war, you got
to
fucking...
Leaders need to fight. I mean, we need to still, like, be careful because, like, they, you know, we don't want to be a dictator or nothing. But, like, that's why the president's the president. Maybe he does still, like, have to fight in the army, but only as, I don't know, like a colonel. Like, people still need to be able to tell him what to do.
Yeah, yeah. We need to have a backup for sure. Someone who's not likely to take over.
I'll volunteer as the backup.
Yeah, but that's like, you're just going to usurp the whole thing after.
That would be sweet then, though. Like, Joe Biden gets assassinated overseas in, like, fucking the Gaza Strip or something. And, like, Kamala Harris is like, as your next and Rick's in plate armor, excuse me.
Just knocks her over. It's Rickety Excuse Rick me. And his fucking metal plate armor. Get him out of the way.
It's like,
oh no, you can't call him that. He'll kill you.
It's like we're out of time and peace. So they just make the designated survivor some random guy. And it just so happened that random guy is needed and it's me.
Rusty Rick.
Nice. Yeah.
Rusty Rick in his plate armor.
What about chainmail, Rick? Where do we land with that?
I'm a big fan of chainmail. I'd be wearing it. If I'm going to wear the armor, you might as well wear the chainmail.
Oh, you mean together with it?
Of course. Yeah. It's a hybrid of all.
I was thinking like in terms of like RPG.
This guy thinks he's going to take on 1,000 penguins and he's not taking all the armor he's got. That's fucked up.
No.
All these people in the like 15th, 16th, 17th century, people really love King Arthur. And it had like, I forget what they call it, a Vulgate cycle or the Arthurian cycle of like history. People followed it. It was like the most popular type of entertainment / storytelling in Europe at the time. Kind of died off after the 18th century. It never really went away. 19th, 20th century, so many Arthur related content was made. Like Mark Twain wrote a book called A Connecticut Yankee in King Arthur's Court, which was basically a fish out of water time traveling sci-fi novel from 1889 about a guy from fucking Connecticut who gets shipped back to King Arthur's court and just lives his days out there with all of his advanced knowledge. And I didn't read it all. I kind of get a summary of it.
I think that's more believable because like I feel like King Arthur times and the 1800s, there's only a marginal difference in quality of life versus now. You know, none of us
wouldn't
be able to take that, but
no.
No, no, but like, so, you know, so fucking Samuel Clemens, yeah, he'd bebop around like, hey, that smells like home.
Yeah, no, he was more like the big differences for him, like he was trying to make a satirical take on like how all these stories got confabulated by people just like he gets there and everyone's seeing like the one of the scenes in the book, I guess, is like the Yankee guy getting. All these people are like, oh, we're getting attacked by dragons. And he turns around, it's like some fucking chickens or something. And it just, the stories got made up crazy because some idiot doesn't know what the fucking difference between a chicken and a dragon is or whatever.
Mm.
And then just shit like that.
That suggests that they were a lot more similar back then.
I can't remember the story specifically, something like that. I don't know if it's a chicken and a dragon, but it's something to that dumb extent.
People were smaller back then, so everybody was only like 8 or 9 inches tall.
So chickens were gigantic.
Yeah, they seemed a lot bigger.
Yeah, it's like when you look at a snowbank when you're a little kid, and then there's snowbanks when you're adults. You're like, when I was a kid, I thought they were huge. It's always
right, exactly. Yeah, the chickens were twice as tall as people back then, but that's just because chickens didn't change. People got taller.
I'm quoting that wrong. Someone's going to call me out on that. I don't know exactly what. There's a story where they're all running away from something, and it ends up just being something common. And he like carries the girl away. Like, okay, I guess I can be knightly and see
you. It's fine, dude. At least we learned about how big chickens used to be in relation to people.
Anyways, the point of the whole thing is Mark Twain was writing about King Arthur in 1889. It was still popular enough for Sam Clemens to jot something down on a piece of paper. And that's like 1,200 years after it supposedly happened then. And it's still popular now. It's not as popular as it was back in those days. But we still fucking hear about King Arthur. To this day, like, some iteration of King Arthur is still floating around out there. Like, we're just getting weird with it now. Like, you ever see that Merlin show from the BBC or whatever? Just like a
teeny... Yeah, Sam Neill.
Is it Sam Neill in that one? I don't know. I just know the young guy who plays Merlin looks like one of my friends. And he's just like, It's like Sabrina it's the Teenage one. Witch, but with like fucking Arthur and Merlin. You know what I mean? It's like that kind of aged show.
Yeah, I thought that was Sam Neill and Merlin.
Or there's it's, like the comic
it's
books.
It's not very important, but...
Samuel was Merlin in something, but not in the show I'm talking about.
I thought it was a show called Merlin. Oh, this is different.
Yeah, Samuel is Merlin's the 1980 or 1998 two-part television miniseries.
Oh, okay.
That's right. From 98. Gotcha. But yes, I did see that. It's not from the same thing I'm talking about. I'm just saying, we're just getting weird with it. Like, you ever see these comics? Like the Camelot 3000 or whatever. You ever see that? Like, it's just futuristic. When fucking Arthur comes back, it's like in the year 3000. He's got to come back to like being in the year 3000. Like you said, like how useful would you be nowadays if you're our future king?
He would be totally useless because he'd get here and he'd be like, oh my God, everything's so easy.
Yeah, like, you just sit there and watch TV all day. This is amazing.
It smells good.
Yeah, I can swipe right and get a new queen. Yes, sir.
Filter out the Guinevere's, please. That chick's a bitch. Yeah, so I could have went into like a lot more detail of where how this like evolved. I just wanted you guys to kind of see it start from warlord to like what it is today. Over 1,200 years, and it's still talked about. So I find that super interesting, whether he existed or not. Honestly, does it matter? Not really. Do I want him to have existed? Yes. Did he exist, though? Am I 100% sure they existed? No, I am not. I think that's probably, at the end of the day, a good story. And a good story is a good story. And it just lasted forever because it was such a good story for its time.
I'm grateful for him because I've been playing a lot of Baldur's Gate 3. And I don't feel that would exist without people fanboying over some dude named Arthur for hundreds of years.
For sure. And that's the, like, J.R.R. Tolkien might not have made up fucking Middle Earth or whatever.
I don't care as much about.
Okay, but I'm just saying, all this shit derives from that, from King Arthur. You're right. All the fantasy stuff that we get today derives from this. So I'm appreciative too. I just, did Arthur exist? Meh.
Yes.
Do you have anything to say, Ricky? What do you think? Do you think he existed?
I think he definitely did exist.
Yeah. Why?
I think he was just that guy walking around wearing armor.
Okay.
Oh God, gotcha. He's manifesting for himself. He wants to bring it back.
Yeah. Well, if I can manifest this or the Powerball today.
If you don't choose the armor, I never respected you.
Did you ever? I mean, joke's on you if you ever did.
Was his name originally Arthur, and it just got Arthur? Like, his name was Armor when he was walking around?
Could be.
Oh, Arthmer. Yeah.
Arthur.
Maybe he had a stroke.
I think we just solved it. Maybe Arthur is just what you called, like, the kings that decided they had to wear armor when they never go to battle. And you're like, it's just an Arthur.
Oh, yeah, he's no Arthur. That guy's no Arthur. He's not wearing armor.
Mm.
Yeah, I don't know. Assuming, what do you think? Like, what do you think? He was a real guy? You got your doctorate in Arthurian history, right? So,
I mean, high school diploma, I guess. But that's about it. But no, I'm susceptible to
King Arthur High School.
Yeah.
Camelot School.
Yeah. Yeah. Grade 12 of Camelot, primary, high school, or something like that. I don't know. But I'm susceptible to this kind of stories because we do have a lot of stories in Hindu mythology that talks about all these things. There's this whole story about Lord Ram who went to Sri Lanka and had a huge fight, and there was this bridge built between these two countries through stones and stuff, and the stones were just floating because he had that superpower kind of thing. And the king of Sri Lanka had like 10 heads, like literally. So you decapitate him and he will have another head. So there's a lot of stories like that. So I can't believe it because there's so many of them that I've gone through in my childhood. So for this, if I have to believe it's real.
You went through them or you heard them?
Yeah, both. I mean, because
you saw a guy with 10 heads get his heads cut off?
Oh, yeah. It was on a Videocon TV, colored.
Oh, gotcha.
My dad said it was a good TV, and I believed it. But yeah, I've read a lot of stories, so I think, yeah, I'll believe it. It's right. It's true, and he was there, and he was doing all this camel-toeing thing.
Do you think he was just like a war leader? Like, I think if he did exist, he was just a guy that was helping fucking fight, and he was just the leader of the battles.
Yeah. Like, you know how RJ said it was a shit time, right? Everything was shit. Everything smelled shit. Everything was bad. And I think at that time, somebody does something uniquely or a little bit more better than somebody else. They just romanticize it and just go with it because they want to look towards something or they want to look up to something. So I believe that's what it happened. He was just a normal guy who did a little bit better than anybody else or did something new. He didn't kill 962, maybe 9 people, but whatever.
That I believe, but I don't believe he was normal. I think that if, here's the thing, if you want to believe this was a real guy, that's fine, but you have to also acknowledge that they for sure prettied everything up and he was a monster.
True.
For sure.
No way it wasn't a father-like son situation with him all over the place.
Yeah, he was killing people in his sleep. I mean, he's fucking twat.
Oh yeah, these guys weren't nice people for sure. They were just, they loved to burn down villages and take what they want and live their life
right,
like that.
Because it's like that whole thing of like, here's all the code that we live by. That's very much just screams like somebody being like, and they were very good boys and they lived by rules and they were very nice to girls. Always super nice to girls.
That's what I mean. That's religion got their hands in it because religion was the only real thing during the Dark Ages that was like taking notes. Everything else just kind of crumbled in, under itself. Moving back like backwards, this really doesn't happen that often in history where you see things regress for 400-500 years. So then you just got religion taking over all the popular stories of the time, making it super religious. So like, yeah, we're gonna add these rules, because like if you look at all the rules, they're basically the same sins. You know, there's 8 rules. They're not all the same sins, but they are basically the sins. Like, don't hurt people, don't kill people, don't get jealous of other people, do this for the right reasons, don't do it because you want, like, go out and be a knight and be good and do it for God. Don't commit treason.
Yeah, it's kind of like when they put Spider-Man in like an anti-smoking commercial or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like the war on drugs. Like,
yeah,
fucking.
Yeah.
That being said, this is such an old story. And you said something earlier about when the fucking bombs fly. Do you think Arthur survives a fucking catastrophic event? Do you think Arthur lives beyond one more failed, like, one more dark?
Does he have just armor and chainmail? Or
he's got a Geiger counter and a fucking radioactive
shit. Like a Pit Boy? Yeah.
Yeah.
That would fucking rip.
No, but literally, do you guys think he survives another wiping out of everything? Or is too much modern legend taken over now? Like, are we just going to have like X-Men used to be real back in the day?
You mean if like everything, like, you, like if somehow there's like a end of the world scenario and people like rebuild again?
Yeah.
I think it would take a while, but they'd get it. There's way too much fucking information. Like, humans are too damn resourceful. So even if it takes 1,000 years, they're going to get into hard drives. Fingers crossed they get into the right ones first.
They were all perverts. Burn anything that's square like this.
Yeah. Oh, dude. Well, no, I mean, worse than that, they're just like, oh, this is what they did? That was normal back then? Yeah, we'll just keep doing that then.
Oh, yeah. And then it's just a bunch of, let's make new America great again. And it just starts all over.
Yeah.
And right after, they find the fucking DVD that has all Kardashian seasons in it. And they're like, yes!
I mean, not that I think, like, everything will survive that long. But, like, there's got to be some kind of, like, storage medium that can, like, withstand a certain test of time. I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe he's gone forever. Who knows?
I mean, if we ever, like, had to go back to, like, oral tradition, are we keeping him alive?
Like, no, you know what? Happening. No, no. He's not around.
I think we are. I actually think it gets worse.
How?
You think it's worse?
I think he becomes more prevalent. I think as we get further and further away of it, the allure of armor and chainmail just drives people back to it.
I think the whole situation's way worse than that. 1,000 years from now, there's no King Arthur, but there is like, once upon a time, they called him Iron Man. And he led
that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Like, people that turns real because that's way more popular now.
Yeah. So then in the year like 3573, a bunch of people doing a podcast like this, like, hey, do you think Iron Man was real? Oh, it could have been. Could have been real. Yeah. Iron Man might have been real. Yeah.
The war calls.
Captain America wasn't, though. No way.
No, because no one could ever be Captain of America.
Right, right. No, no, no. He's lame like Lancelot's lame.
Yeah.
No, I think it'll come back. He will.
You think he survives the test of time? He's been so entrenched in our culture for like 1,000 years that I think he's got the surviving power, but I doubt it. Like, I hope he does. I just doubt it.
Everything's informed by something, but like, I do think we lose the original. Okay, so like I didn't know this till that movie came out, but Hamlet, everybody knows Hamlet, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you know that is actually a Norse myth about Amleth?
I would imagine a lot of European entertainments taken from Norse and Celtic tradition.
But the point being, people don't really know that. You know what I mean? They know the thing that made it good. So like, you know, like they'll remember Lord of the Rings and not Arthur, not, you know what I mean? Yeah. I don't mean like we're ever going to lose that. Like if society stays afloat, but like you say, if there's he's gone. No way. He's too mid. He's too boring.
Yeah. He's not as cool anymore.
He doesn't shoot lasers out of his hand.
Yeah. But in the next version of him might.
That's what I was about
version
to say.
The next described. Version of him is just the fucking Avengers, like that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, or yeah, some podcast like us does what Rick or RJ was saying.
But if the Avengers are about him, it's still him.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Maybe the podcast connects them together, like Arthur turned into Tony Stark because blah blah blah, it just becomes like the next leg of the story.
My understanding of what you were saying is that like his, like the origin just gets moved forward.
I think that like what we were saying earlier is what I think happens. I don't think Arthur survives. I'm just playing out devil's advocate to talk about it, but I agree with what you're saying. I think it's like there's way too much other cool shit now, like even if it's video games, you know what I mean, like even if it's just like
it's
just so much.
Yeah, the new Arthur, they're gonna be like the legend of Arthur Morgan.
I the Dark Knight, Arthur Morgan.
Oh shit. Yeah, it's oh god, that would be it too. It would be bad. It would be a fucking fascist.
I wonder if I asked my kids, and I didn't, I should have. I wonder if I could ask them to tell me King Arthur's story. Like if they still pick it up culturally, just naturally. Because like it's not like I looked into King Arthur before a couple weeks ago or whatever, but now before then I knew enough, I knew the basic gist of it.
Yeah, I bet they give you about as much as we did, when because you know I remembered the wizard, the sword out of a stone, and that's about it.
What are we laughing
I agree.
About
I think they give about as much as we did.
Yeah, I mean that for good though. Like I think it's just a thing that everybody kind of knows. You know what I mean? Like it's
so much in the zeitgeist.
It's thrown in your face. Yeah, exactly. But it's not like any of us know it because we went and read the original like texts or sat down and like studied all of the fucking history of it. We just know it because somebody made some fucking reference to it in, you know, like SpongeBob or something, or you know, like a Cartoon Network show,
or like your parents tell you got to watch Holy Grail, like Knights of the Holy Grail, like you got to go watch. And you go, what's this? Who's King Arthur? And you get it from some other media like that, or you just watch Arthur the fucking movie.
Oh man, tell Clive me you don't make your you didn't make your kids watch
Clive Owen
Monty Python.
I don't make them, but I will eventually tell them that they should with me.
All right.
Because I love my.
Oh, Python. Okay, that's different. I just like that. There's nobody worse than somebody who like. Because there's no way you can enjoy that if somebody forces it on you.
No, for sure. No, I've been trying to get them to watch the classics, in my opinion, movies, but they watch some, but not all, but I'm not going to force them into anything. But
yeah, no, you gotta do it like, I don't know, you gotta like tease them with it. Like that's how I got my little brothers to watch The Thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what'd you do? Yep. Make them watch the Private Dicks, listen to the Private Dicks, and you're like, now you want the good version of it? You want the good version of it?
I do think that happened because I had just gotten the 4K remastered version and I was watching it a lot. So that's probably how we ended up on The Thing.
Well, that and we were in Antarctica, so I'm pretty sure that doesn't help.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's pretty much it. Sumit, does that what are we going with for the solve for him? He was real, he wasn't real? What are we saying here for Sumit?
For me, I think I want to believe the person was real.
So you want to usurp whatever our decision is, you're still going to pay us?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Good.
He
I got
his
some
own.
Dough.
He solved
so
his
Click
own.
Hooked me up with some dough, which I cannot talk about how he got it. But yeah, we're getting.
I like it. We're getting weird with the King Arthur. King Arthur existed. Hey, he's paying us. Who cares if we're wrong? Who cares? And King Arthur will always exist because he's our once and future king.
I do think he's a bitch. But
well, yeah, let's see. I was going to say general thoughts before we go. Any guys got anything else
to
think
about? Yeah, he's just like a fucking like he's not, I don't know, like what would you call him? Like a paladin or maybe just like a fucking
a he's fighter. A paladin.
Yeah.
He's a paladin, yeah, for sure.
But he's not like religious, really.
What's a paladin?
He, if you were into any type of fantasy gaming,
oh. I guess like they uphold like an oath. You know, I guess they don't have to be religious.
Well, I think paladins are basically based off of like Knights of the Round Table. Like that's why I'm saying he's probably a paladin.
Yeah, yeah, that's fair. Yeah, they suck. I hate them.
Yeah, they're just usually in a video game, they're like strong and tough and they have a little bit of punch to them and they got like shitty protection magic. So you're like, and maybe a little bit of healing magic. And you're like, I hate these fucking guys. They're so bad.
Yeah, very boring. Yeah. I always do rogue. That's what I started in Baldur's Gate. I realized I always do that. So I changed and I learned that you can talk to animals as a druid, so I'm doing that. And then apparently I can fuck people as an animal. So I'm going to...
You're Merlin. You went full Merlin.
Yeah, has dude.
Has anybody consented you to this?
I'm going to bone everybody as a bear.
Bone bear.
I do that as a real man.
That's my default. I don't need no spell slots for that.
Ricky, you got any general thoughts on King Arthur before we shut her down?
No, but I do agree with Sumit. That's my only.
I thought you were going to say me that boning people as a bear rocks.
Rawr. Well, thanks for the payment, Sumit. I appreciate you. That's the first person who's actually had cash on hand to pay the second they leave.
Yeah.
You should have to bill people. Good job.
Thank you. I will know. I cannot tell you how legit this cash is, but it is cash. You know what I mean?
I just watched Private Dicks, and I think RJ's the funniest.
What? Come on.